listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host with the most, Nikki Kourula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have an amazing songwriter, singer, extraordinaire, Mr. Chandler Borelli. How are you?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I like that. That's a good response. You're like, I am amazing.
Amazing. Take it till you make it, even if you're not. I lost my voice a couple days ago, which is why I sound kind of crazy. But other than this, I'm amazing.
You know what? You don't sound crazy, and it's okay. That happens. You must have been having a good time, or just having a good time. You
can't really lose your voice.
Not having a good time. That's basically what that indicates. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Northeast Alabama, Oxford, yeah. Alabama. It was Oxford. A smaller town when I was there than it is now. It's grown a lot, which is great. I grew up in the woods.
That's awesome.
30 acres of just woodland. There was nothing really around, but a bunch of trees and some animals. And my nearest neighbor was my best friend. He lived a couple mountains over. We used to meet up in the woods and hang out and track down random animals and pretend like we were heroes. That's awesome. And all kinds of shit.
So my girlfriend is actually from Alabama as well.
What part?
She's from Troy, Alabama, another small city. So I think that's kind of, it's more inland, central, south. Is that right?
I've been to Troy. Yeah. I went there on some kind of school conference thing.
Okay.
To their university there. It's a small city as well.
I've been all around that area, and her sister has the best chicken fingers I've ever had in my life. She has a shop. It's called Crow's Chicken. It's in Brundage. And so if you're ever in that area, go in there and have some chicken tenders. They will change your life. They're that good. They are so good.
What about them are different than most chicken tenders?
You know what? First of all, I've gotten some of these secrets from her. First of all,
I cook. This is my vibe. Tell me all the secrets.
So she uses chicken breasts, which is, a lot of people don't always do that. They use like leftover chicken bits, and she has this little secret sauce and the seasoning that's just dynamite. It's just got this amazing seasoning, breading, the whole thing about it is just, it's the way a chicken finger should taste. So next time you go there, I know you love fried food because you're from the South.
Absolutely. So
you'll have to check it out. But in relation to Troy, you said you're Northeast of that?
I'm Northeast Alabama. Yeah. It's like halfway between Birmingham, Alabama, and Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love all of those areas, and they're rich in culture and music and nature and soul and amazing Southern cooking. I mean, you just cannot beat Southern cooking on the whole.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head with the fried food. I mean, it's all fried and it's all fucking delicious.
Yes, it is. It's the best. It's the best. So I'm sure you're a fan of barbecue because you're from the South. So tell me if you're going to a barbecue place, what is on your plate? What is your Southern barbecue? This is my plate.
Look, every time I go back home, there's this like hole in the wall spot. I think they now have two locations instead of one. It's called Dad's Barbecue. And they have this gold sauce, which is like a sort of like a mix of honey mustard mixed with barbecue.
Yes.
Dude, I make a special trip to go to Dad's Barbecue every time I'm home. And I always get the barbecue pulled pork barbecue sandwich. Their fries are amazing. And I want just like regular amazing barbecue sauce on the sandwich. And then I'm dipping those fries in the gold sauce.
I like
this. They also have really good like pulled chicken. It's not chicken. They do have good chicken fingers, but pulled chicken Sometimes I'll switch it up and do like a chicken sandwich.
I like it.
Chicken and do the gold sauce on that. Fire.
Dude, fire. You just changed my whole world as far as going to find a barbecue place in Alabama. So thank you for that. So let me ask you, how did you get into music? Like, did you have like a music class in middle school or junior high or high school that kind of changed your world?
My parents randomly bought me like a little, not a toy keyboard, but for the most part, a toy keyboard when I was maybe third grade. And it had a little screen on it that would like map out songs. So it had preset songs, and one of them was the theme song to Titanic. And I loved the Titanic, My Heart Will Go On, you know? And so I would watch the screen and I like taught myself how to play this one song on the keyboard. And I fell in love with music. I grew up with my dad listening to all sorts of rock and roll. I remember always getting in the car and there was always music playing to school, to karate practice, to soccer practice. It was always so much music. And, you know, Alabama specifically, it is rich in this like music culture, Muscle Shoals, you know. Yep. Yep. There's a lot of cool history behind the music that comes out of the South. When I was in fifth grade, I started taking piano lessons. And I eventually quit because they started teaching me to play jazz, and I want to punch myself in the face for not continuing, because now I'm like kill to right. have a better concept of jazz music. And then I went off to college and I was studying at the University of Alabama. There was this piano room that seemed to be abandoned on campus. It was this gorgeous white room, giant windows, tons of sunlight, and right in the middle, this gorgeous grand piano.
Wow.
And every day I would leave class and I would go to this room, amazing acoustics, and I started writing music as a form of release and therapy. And I would just sing and play to literally no one. And that felt somehow more meaningful to me than all of these things I was learning in the classroom. And I thought, you know what? I can always come back to school.
Right.
You can be whatever age you want to be and learn something new. Your brain is elastic, jump on it. But I'm not always going to be early 20s with the will and no ties holding me back from saving not enough money and moving across the country to LA, this land of like opportunity for a multitude of genres and business ventures,
music. Right. And did you like start kind of writing at that point? Were you just playing covers? Were you kind of like doing a little bit of, you know, writing and playing covers? Like what were the kind of things that you were listening to that were influencing your music?
I mean, at the time back in Alabama, I was playing like random shows at little pizzerias and like wherever I could book a gig, I booked a gig, and I would show up with just me and the keyboard and some shitty speakers, and I would put on whatever show I could, just dreaming I could be on a bigger stage at some point.
Right.
I mean, I was definitely influenced by a lot of the rock that my dad always had on that transform to more things like Linkin Park and Medina Lake and My Chemical Romance. But at the same time, things like My Heart Will Go On from the Titanic really pulled at strings for me. So I played this balance of like this pop kind of culture mixed with like a little bit of rock and roll and soul. And that somehow transformed into like this pop folk kind of thing, which is now leaning a little more rock. So I'm just riding the wave of the music. Whatever I'm feeling in that moment, that's what I'm going to write about.
Well, I'm a huge Allman Brothers fan, which is, you know, they're coming from Alabama, Georgia, like all those, you know, the like the deep roots of the South. And it's just awesome when you hear an artist's roots coming through their sound, even as they're kind of venturing into sounds that maybe are kind of foreign to where they grew up. So I love that you're kind of pulling from a whole bunch of different styles and kind of influences. And I don't think it ever gets to the point where you never know, you never don't want to play in any like hole in the wall. I just, you know, I've played shows in front of, and I've played shows in front of 10,000 people. And last night I walked into a saloon. I played at a saloon last night and I walked in, didn't know anything about the place. It's completely empty. And I was like, all right, this is going to be like a, like an old blues bar. Like, okay, let's do this. By the time we started, we got set up and everything. Place was packed. A friend of mine came in and was telling me the history of the place. Like Dave Grohl plays there from the Foo Fighters. Taylor Hawkins used to bring his band there. It's like a staple in the blues, like, you know, route of touring. And there were all these people that were just like so into it. And it just kind of like really kind of took me away from judging a book by its cover. You know what I mean? Because it's like at the end of the day, if you can't conjure joy or create joy in any place, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And I think you kind of were doing that on your own when you were playing in those empty kind of spaces to kind of figure out like, this is the direction I want to go in. Tell me what that move was like coming from Alabama to LA, because it's a different city. It's a different vibe. And I want to know your take, because I already know the take of my girlfriend, how she feels about this city and how it's kind of turned around, you know?
Look, I do believe that there is a ton of opportunity here. When I first moved, I had a lot of bubbles that had to be burst.
Right.
I was born and raised in the Bible Belt. I grew up in private Christian schools. I don't regret any of that, but it definitely shapes you in an interesting way. And I was sort of sheltered from a lot of things that do exist in the world, and shelter is not necessarily the answer. I think actually exposure and things like travel is education. And then you don't feel the need to maybe judge from a distance, but you immerse yourself in that culture, in that area, in that lifestyle, in what maybe you viewed as something wild and crazy from afar. But once you got in it, it's something totally different. Yes. That you shouldn't have judged in the first place anyway.
I love that. That's a great perspective. And I think that's a lesson for anybody in any country to just take the chance and travel and explore. Now, how has your musical kind of influences changed just coming around here? Because one thing that I love about LA, and it's like I grew up here, so I see it from a different perspective. One thing that's great about LA, New York, Miami, a lot of those cities, they're tastemakers for fashion, for film, for music, for style, for food, whatever it is. So tell me how that kind of changed what you were listening to or how you were being pulled in any direction.
I mean, when I first got here, I feel like a lot of people do sort of latch on to newbies and they want to shape them in a certain way. And that definitely happened to me. I started making music that I wasn't necessarily stoked about, but music that I was told I had to make if I was going to make it.
Right.
And look, I've been here 6 years almost and still am not where I thought I would be in terms of what making it looked like to little me back in Alabama.
Right.
I'm much further along and there was a lot of bridges that had to be crossed, but LA really tried, I allowed it to shape me in ways that weren't really me. And to be totally honest, that journey was still taking place up until about a year and a half ago, where I was finally like, you know what? Still not there.
Right.
So maybe screw all of these people who think they know too. And I've really come back to my own style. You know, I was like dressing kind of crazy. I bleached my hair blonde. I had fake glasses at one point. I was like, how far is far? You know, like I didn't know. It was fun. I was enjoying this experimental thing. And now I just wear much more simple clothes and like, this is my hair. This is who I am. This is what I want to eat. This is the music that I want to make.
You know, I love that you said all those things, because I've also seen that when people move here, how the industry can change them, the environment of just how this city works as a mass. And, you know, I heard something from Dwayne Johnson the other day. They were talking to him about how he was trying to make his break in Hollywood. And he came from wrestling. And He said everybody in the industry said, oh, you need to lose weight to make it in the industry. Or you really need to like trim down and oh, you need to have this look and you need to act this certain way. And he said he did it for a couple months. And then he said, this stops now. He said, this is not who I am. This is not who I want to be. This is not how I want to build anything like what I want to build on. And he said, the only thing I can do is be myself. And if I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail as myself. And that's why he's a success. And I love that you said that, because it's 100%. It's like, you have to be yourself. And, you know, in a world that's trying to change you, be yourself, because there's enough of all those people that, you know, any of us are trying to be at one point or another. And at the end of the day, it's like, nobody's like yourself.
Exactly. And I think especially in the areas of art, how dare you allow someone else to say they know what your art is supposed to be? The point of art is that it is this individualistic thing that should be seen as an individualistic thing. If you're just like everyone else and you're trying to be shaped to be the next TikTok thing or pop star, then you're just that. And like, who, everyone is trying to be that right now. I don't really care to be that.
Right.
I'm going to give you, I want to give you what I view as my art.
That's awesome.
Do that, you know?
Well, let's get to a song. Speaking of your art, what do you want to play first?
I mean, I feel like we're talking Alabama and stuff like that. Let's go Fake Chanel.
All right. Here's Fake Chanel by Chandler.
Don't want to grow up, still chasing useless shit. When it all gets heavy, I want my mama's no-bake chocolate peanut butter baby's whole glass of whole milk. Sweet hits that good, good feeling, trying to be more chill. Maybe there's no deeper meaning. Bet you think you're really something. Overdressing social functions, never really in the present moment. But you really think you're up and coming. So caught up in fake romances, lost your head in all your chances. Never really in the present moment. What are you becoming? Boy, you don't have to change for them. Boy, you don't have to change. Boy, you don't have to change for them. Boy, you don't have to change. Run away, I didn't wanna stay where the trees swayed and made me feel so safe. Freeways don't make me sane, but uproot me, be more LA. Bet you think you're really something. Overdressing social functions, never really in the present moment. But you really think you're up and coming. So caught up in fake romances, lost your head in all your chances. Never really in the present moment. What are you becoming? Boy, you don't have to change for them. Boy, you don't have to change. Boy, you don't have to change for them. Boy, you don't have to change.
You don't have to change.
Loved it. It was like neo soul meets folk meets kind of like old school pop. I loved it. It was great. Very melodic. Tell me about the influence and the meaning behind the song.
I mean, it's essentially everything that we just talked about in this one song. You know, like I said, when I moved here, I thought I had to be something else in order to make it. And this little EP was me sort of reclaiming that I'm either enough, or like Dwayne said, I'm going to go down not being enough as myself.
Right.
So this was taking all of that back and like a note to self of like, I don't have to change. I don't have to change and be all these different things. Like when this song opens, it's I had my mom do a voice memo of birds in our front yard. So you hear are birds back in my, like right in front of my house. And then by the end of the song, it's the birds outside this apartment here in Los Angeles.
That's super cool. That's, I get chills, man. That's super cool.
It's like this transition of East Coast to West Coast, from the South to this like realm of whatever you want to call Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And just sort of sitting into it and being like, this has got to be it. You know, like me has got to be it.
What's really funny, and like I've been an artist for 20 years, so it's so refreshing to hear you say all these things, because when I was starting out, I had any and every person telling me to make music in every which way, from engineers to people in the industry to people telling me what I'm not, what I should be. And it's like now I've built a career and played these major festivals and done it on my own terms, play with major artists. And what's so crazy is now all those voices from other people are much quieter. You know what I mean? So, so like, I want to be the one artist that maybe a little bit farther down the road to say, keep following your instincts, because your instincts are true and they're real and they're everything that what it's about to be an artist. Mm. Because everything about being an artist is about being real and being revealing to yourself and taking yourself to an elevated place that maybe life doesn't let you always be. So the fact that you're, you know, you have this mindset now, I hope that you always are reminded by this interview and every song that you write and create afterwards, always make that your the center of everything, because you'll go far. Because I honestly, it's like, that's what was the driving force behind everything. I heard so many people tell me every which way, and none of it really stuck. It's like the things that you really believe in are the things that resonate within yourself. So I love that you kind of like you kind of went through this transition and you're circling back and you're like, I'm going to shed all that other bullshit and then just focus on the things that really kind of help me grow in the right directions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and excuse me. I think that people are over the facade. Like, right. It was cool when it first came. I was like, oh, like that's some outlandish thing.
Right.
And that still obviously has a place and that's fun. But I think that, at least speaking for myself and like the people that I hang out with, would prefer something more real. Yeah. So like, I think it goes back to like, just be you. And right. you either rise with it or you fall with it, but at least you didn't sacrifice yourself in the process.
Right. Right. No, I love that. And you know, the one thing that I find really peculiar, all the people that are kind of, you know, especially in the industry, all the people that tell you, oh, you know, you need to be this, you need to do this, they're not really doing it themselves. So it's like, what place is this coming from that, yeah, you know, there's all these judgments or advice as, oh, it really should be this way, when it's like, actually, nah, I'm going to direct my own path and journey and kind of make it on my own terms or not, you know? So the idea is like, being yourself, you've made it, you know, just the fact that you've gone through that transition. Now tell me, when you present music to people or when you're playing it at shows, tell me what is one of the greatest parts of being an artist for you that inspire you to create more?
I just played a sick show that was like full band set, like lights, backing, all. It was just an amazing experience as a whole. But this was one of the first shows that I could hear the audience singing my songs with me.
That's cool.
And that was such it was such a moment of solidification in that I felt like they felt it.
Right.
They felt this song the way that either I designed it to be felt. They were experiencing that same emotional connection. Or even if they projected their own self into this storyline and felt it a totally different way, the fact that the people in the room felt it
right.
was so inspiring to me, to watch people move and sing and dance and be present in this moment with me was an incredible experience. And I want more and more. Give me a bigger stage so we can have a bigger audience so that everyone can feel this bigger thing.
Right.
That's what I want. And my inspiration also comes from wanting to inspire them. I want people to feel and find their sense of self and express that in whatever way they can that's most authentic to themselves so that they can then inspire the rest of the world. And it's just this snowball effect of art and beauty and self-acceptance and love. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's all love. It's like, yeah. Music is love. Art is love. It shines a light on things that are otherwise maybe difficult to talk about. All of those things are inspiring to me to create more and more art.
But isn't that what makes music so great? It's like,
yeah,
it shows you the things you want to say without words in a way with words and melody combined that only music can serve that purpose. I just find it so crazy how a simple melody can change a movement, it can change a political belief, it can change a philosophical belief of any person. And it's like when the other thing too is so great because it's communal. It's like you need people to listen in a room when you're playing live, or you need people to listen individually, you know, across the country when you release music and the way it impacts people. And sometimes your music may be ahead of the curve. And it takes people a little bit longer to kind of like grab on to what you're doing. But it's amazing to see how that always is part of the process. It's like, yeah. You know, there are artists all the time that are releasing stuff and everybody's waiting to see what the next artist is doing. But the thing that I find so fascinating is all artists are on this individual path to just create, and they're inspired by things they may not expect to be inspired by, whether it's a story or something on the news or another artist's music. So where do you find the most, the biggest truth source where you draw inspiration and channel it into songs for you?
I used to write from a point of imagination, and I heard, I don't remember who said this. I was at an award show. This guy was accepting an award for best picture, I think is what it was, or best director. Anyway, and he said, the most authentic.
My bulldog's saying hello.
Oh, what's up, bulldog?
This is Otis, by the way.
Hey, Otis. He said, I want to be in this interview. You left
me. That's my good luck charm. If he walks in the door, then he means like, he's like, yo, this shit is a good guess. So go on. The most authentic, you were saying.
He said the most authentic is the most artistic.
Ooh,
and that line changed the way that I approached writing. And I stopped telling hypothetical storylines that hinted at what I thought I was saying.
Right.
And I started giving very specific things. Fake Chanel. You know, I want my mama's chocolate peanut butter babies. You may not know what my mama's chocolate peanut butter babies are, but you've got something from your mom, from your sister, from a best friend, from your grandmother that you resonate with that statement.
Right.
And I find that since I changed that writing style, people seem to connect to the music more in that way. It doesn't have to be that they have chocolate peanut butter babies.
Right.
It's that thing is authentic. And because it's authentic, it is artistic. It can be molded and shaped and formed and colored into something bigger than chocolate peanut butter babies.
Right.
And that works in a bigger way than if I would have made up some random name of something else that didn't actually exist in my world.
Right. Well, you gave a detail too. It adds color because you're allowing people in. You know, it's like by saying that lyric, you're allowing people to look inside and understand a part of what meant something to you or still means something to you. So I love details like that. When you hear a lyric or it's like something specific that colors the story or even just a line, and it's like, oh yeah, that's it. Because you get there. You get there with your own sense memory to that place that they come from. And it's like all of a sudden you're both speaking the same language, you know? Yeah. So I love that. Let's play something else. What do you want to play next?
Let's do Lazy.
Here's Lazy by Chandler Borelli.
I was feeling hella stressed. Had to get out of my head. Light it up and call it heaven. Light it up and call it heaven. Angel with a pretty name. Flowers for my Mary Jane. Falling and I call it heaven. Falling and I call it heaven. Yeah. Don't say nothing. Keep me buddy. Cheap smokes and a green roll. Damn, I feel cold. Got that eye roll. Got me so lazy. La 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 lazy. Red glow make me so slow. I'ma stay home. I'ma stay stoned. I'ma be lazy. La 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 lazy. Yeah. Living on a hella lean. Damn, I'm in a pretty dream. I don't ever wanna leave it. I don't ever wanna leave it. No, don't say nothing. Keep me buzzing.
Cheap smokes and a green roll. Damn, I feel cold. Got that eye roll. Got me so lazy. La 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 lazy. Red glow make me so slow. I'ma stay home. I'ma stay stoned.
Was killer. Love that. That groove is, I mean, you cannot replace anything with like a soul groove like that. It just puts you in a place right away. I love that. Tell me about the production, what made you want to do a groove like that.
I did this song with this sick producer out of Nashville, Will McBeath, and he, multi-instrumentalist, obviously incredible producer. We wrote the song together. I'm obsessed with him. I think he's great. I can't wait to work with him on some more projects in the future. But we wanted something that felt sort of high. Like, I don't smoke a lot of weed. Okay. But if I take like a hit, I'm pretty high. Okay.
Right.
This song does something to my head. Like, I'm not high at all right now. And like when I listen to that song, I sway in the same way. And that's what we wanted to capture. That's what we wanted to project, was this like vibe. And I wanted this song on this specific EP because I get so caught up in my head about like, it's never enough. You didn't pitch to enough playlist, even though you pitched to 100,000. You know what I mean? It's like you didn't play enough shows this year, even though you played one of the biggest stages you've ever played. Like, it's never fucking enough.
Right.
And this concept was chill out. You're right where you need to be. It's going to be okay. And you can have a moment. And sometimes that moment is getting really a hot box in my closet to record these vocals.
That's awesome.
So I was literally like, there must be 100 takes that are unusable because I was like laughing so much.
Right.
I could not get through the take. It was just, it was such a fun experience. And like, art should be fun and experimental. Yeah. And like, find something deeper in yourself in the process. And that's what we did with this song, was just like, how do we really dive into this feeling of it's not enough? And we both were like, we should both just chill the fuck out a little bit, you know?
Right. Well, it's cool. It's kind of got like a Frank Ocean vibe a little bit. Yeah. It's kind of got this another like neo soul influence, but really it's that old blues shuffle kind of like waltz feel.
Yeah, it's got a little blues to it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love that groove. That groove never gets old. It's just, it never loses its feel. It never forgets to make you open up your wounds when you listen to it. Cause like you're making kind of like a pretty chill song, but like that groove puts you in this place. Like I gotta
like rock with it.
It's like you're grooving with it, you know? So it's got this cool vibe. And it's very modernized. That's what I love. It's like taking an old rhythm and then modernizing it with production and sounds and just like making it almost like a hip hop. It's got a hip hop kind of vibe, but it's not, you know, so it's kind of got this neo soul hip hop influence, which is cool. Tell me, like, when you're listening to people right now, who are you thinking kind of like shakes the ground as far as like what you think is terrific art right now? And I ask this because I always ask questions like this to other people because it shows me art I've never heard of. So I'm sure you're going to say names or songs or artists that I don't know. So please.
Look, this has now become pop. It wasn't popular music. It just like Adele was not popular music when Adele stepped into the scene, but now she's pop.
Right.
I think that the writing and the production behind both Billie's music, Billie Eilish, and what her brother's doing for her, but also on his own artist project, Phineas. I think that they're really shaping a lot of music in this current state of pop.
Right.
In a very interesting way, where they're sort of taking these sounds that I thought would die out by now. I thought that this was going to be a really short-lived synth world.
Right.
And then we would go back into live music, real instrumentation. They're able to blend those things in a way that I'm really jealous of. That song, you know, specifically Lazy, that ends with this like electric guitar, you know, that I did that out of an influence, probably subconscious, of things that Phineas is doing with Billie's music and with his own music.
Right. Where
they're blending these really cool actual instruments into this synth world. I think that those are some people who are definitely shaking the ground a bit. I'm obsessed with like Lauv. I think that in terms of pop, I think he's brilliant. I also absolutely love the writing style of JP Sachs. That dude can write. That dude can write a song. Having said that, I just came across this new artist that I am sort of obsessed with, and I keep putting him on, but I keep also shamefully forgetting what his actual name is. Let's see. His name is Luca Fogale, F-O-G-A-L-E. And he's just very similar in terms of how he writes music to JP Sachs. And I just love that, like, pull me apart kind of emotion.
Right.
And he does that really, really well. As well as, obviously I'm like scrolling now, but like Dominique Fike, fire. I've always been obsessed with Imagine Dragons. I think they do some cool shit. Harry Styles in terms of pop.
Yep. He's great album. You know what's crazy? He played the Forum last night, and a trombonist that I just started working with recently, he played trombone for him. And the funny thing is, we didn't know each other when I was at Coachella, and I saw him perform at Coachella. And then we started doing a session. He's like, yeah, I'm doing the show with Harry Styles at the Forum. I was like, did you do the Coachella show? He's like, yeah, I did, man. I was like, that's crazy. And a little fun fact. So Billie Eilish and her brother sang in a children's chorus called the LA Children's Chorus. I was actually one of the founding members of that chorus.
Oh, wow.
So they were in the, so like, we started doing like crazy stuff, like singing at the Grammys, doing like European tours and all this stuff. And then when I left, it was just this super well-oiled machine. And then she and her brother came up in that kind of like music upbringing.
Wow.
And that's where, so like when, I don't know if you've seen her movie, but she actually brought the children's chorus up on the Hollywood Bowl and they all sang together. And it was like a full circle moment. I was like, that's so awesome that she did that. So, super, super cool. I love all the artists that you mentioned. Half of them I don't even know, so you're going to have to text me some of those later.
Okay.
Let's play something else. What do you want to play us next?
Look, I wanted you to hear some Rain. So let's go Poser. This is like I was talking about earlier, where this new stuff that I'm making is leaning a little bit into the rock realm.
Right.
Obviously still pop music, but play it. You'll see.
All right. Here's Poser by Chandler Borelli.
I've been cheating on you, been fucking us both over, middle of June. I was giving the cold shoulder, love you and lose me. Now it's October, no good excuses, but I self-diagnosed that maybe I'll always be a poser, a step behind before I get a little bit older. Always holding out for something just around the corner. Ain't life a joke, and I'll always be a joker. Katy Perry, hot and cold, kind of bipolar. Happier than ever type, Billy on a roll, yeah. Can't shake it off, never. Cool like Mike Posner. No queen bee, no lord. No, no, nothing close to royal. I'm just a poser. And I know you know it, yeah. I'm not in denial of it, I just don't wanna show it. Desperate for changes, fast track, nowhere to go. I just keep on waiting around, life's too slow. Maybe I'll always be a poser,
yep.
A step behind before I get a little bit older. Always holding out for something just around the corner. Ain't life a joke, and I'll always be a joker. Katy Perry, hot and cold, kind of bipolar. Happier than ever type, Billy on a roll, yeah. Can't shake it off, never. Cool like Mike Posner. No queen bee, no lord. No, no, nothing close to roll. I'm just a joke, I'll always be a poser. Am I just a joke, a little bit older? I'm just a joke, holding out for something just around the corner. Am I just a joke, I'll always be a joker. I'm just a joke, be a joker. Katy Perry, hot and cold, kind of bipolar. Happier than ever type, Billy on a roll, yeah. Can't shake it off, never. Cool like Mike Posner. No queen bee, no lord. No, no, nothing close to royal. I'm just a poser.
Yeah, that was like a summer hit right there, man. I love it.
You know, speaking of Billy.
No, I mean,
it's mentions in there.
I love that you have Mike Posner, you have Katy Perry, you got all your influences all in one song right there. But you know what? What's really cool, ironically, that song's very authentic. You know what I mean? It's like you're like showing how to chase trends, but you're not chasing trends, which is super cool. It's definitely summer. That's definitely a summer song. That's like heading down to the beach, top down, just blaring some summer jams. There's something reckless and wholesome, and just, I mean, I think that's youth right there. That's like what I think.
I love that description, youth. Reckless.
Yeah. I mean, cause that's what it is. I mean, that, when you don't really like, you know, responsibilities come later. We think that, oh, everything has to be, you know, immediate, but it's like, you know, all that stuff comes down the road, and you start to, you learn later in life that all that life is about savoring time, you know, like savor the moments. And it's awesome because like you're in this part of your career where it's like everything is exuberance, everything is party, everything is up, everything is, you know, and that's a great place because, you know, you can hear joy. At the end of the day, that's what we listen to music for. We either want to channel our pain into joy through somebody else's words or sounds, or we want to celebrate joy with music because it is that celebration, you know? So you definitely pulled it off. Tell me like what's next for you, or where can people find you online or at future shows? Tell me like, where can people see you?
So all of my links and stuff are on my website, whatsupchandler.me.
That's your website? That's awesome.
Yeah.
whatsupchandler.me. That's awesome.
Here we are.
That's clever. I like that.
All my links to socials are on there. I'm What's Up Chandler across all platforms. I will say I don't love social media, so I'm pretty bad at, you know, staying with the social game.
Right.
But in terms of what's next, I have released two EPs this year, Brent, which is my middle name, and Moment to Sleep. I was slated to release this next one called Moments Awake, which is dipping my toes a little bit more into the rock thing. By the end of the year, I decided I would travel to Europe, and that has...
That's awesome.
Pulled back. It's all written. It's mostly produced, but I don't want to rush it because I'm releasing this EP with a tasting menu, so that every song has a flavor and a smell that just transports you into.
Oh, I love that. What a great idea. That's so awesome. That's very cool.
So all of that's in the works. I just don't want to rush the process because I really want these recipes to be on fucking point. I want the trading to be on point, and the music with the, I just want it to be a whole vibe. So it's probably going to be first of the year before it actually comes out, but that's what's next. I'm stoked about it. I'll continue to book shows. I don't have anything right now, but I really want small stages. I want Hotel Cafe, small stage where we pack that little room and everyone that's in there is there to actually listen. I want us all to like have a moment together and feel this together.
Well, let me tell you something pretty cool. So I just announced this yesterday. Hotel Cafe is giving me a night to do songwriters in the round. So I'm going to have four songwriters. Exactly. That's what I'm telling you. I'm going to have four songwriters every month come in, and one song and an instrument and a story. And it's just going to be all the different songwriters. So I'll definitely have you on board because I want seasoned songwriters and new songwriters and kind of like everybody in between. So you get this kind of like level of just breadth of all kinds of influences and styles and vibe. And I talked to them, I talked to the owner. I was like, Hotel Cafe needs this. So that's going to be coming up in maybe a week or so. So I'm going to have you on either the first bill or one soon after. So
dude, I'm there. Spectator, participant, I'm there.
You'll love it. You'll love it, man. So I love that. I love everything that you're doing musically. I hope you never stop creating. And once again, thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. You've been wonderful. And you know what? We're going to keep in touch. We're going to ride together. We're going to get some stuff going on. So,
dude, I'm down.
We can do some shows together and stuff. So never stop creating, man. Stay with that attitude. You got the right chips in all the right place. Have a good time in Europe. I can give you some pointers on that too, because I love Europe. Europe's the shit. So yeah, man, have a blast. Happy travels. And we'll talk soon. Okay. Thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Chandler, we'll see you guys next week. Peace, love, and take care. Cheers.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.